39. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, beautiful morning that you've given us together here. Hear a little portion of thy word and sing songs of praise. Your great name, Lord. Be with us as we go through this service. May everything we do be in accordance with thy will. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We'll get brother
too. Okay. We're going to do birthdays. You got any birthdays
up
there?
No birthdays.
No birthdays.
Okay.
Well, we better practice the birthdays.
Well, let's practice. We got practice. We'll sing on.
We're going to sing anyway.
Okay, here we go.
Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be able to be here in this church building this morning. We ask that you be with Brother Lee, help him get over his problem and get him back with us quick. We know that he is a big part of this church and we miss him when he's not here. Lord, we want to thank you for everything that you do and provide for us. We realize that we are blessed and we realize that those blessings come from you, and we just are grateful for everything that we have. We want to thank you for having the opportunity to have eternal life if we so choose to follow the path that was laid out for us to follow to have that. And we realize that it took your Son's body and blood for us to have that opportunity, and we partake of these emblems to help us remember the sacrifice that he made. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
again, thank you for this glorious day you've given us. Thank you for this church you have provided us with. Thank you for each and every blessing that you give us. As we bring forth this gift, bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Song 298.
Thank you.
we want to thank you for everything that you do and provide for us. We realize that if we trust in you, that you have a plan for us when our life on earth here is finished. And if we follow that pathway, you tell us that there's a place that's better for us after we're done here on earth. And we are appreciative of everything that you do for us, and we thank you, and we're going to make sure that we follow the word that you lay before us. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Just about every Sunday when we come to this time in service, Brother Lee likes to sing a song. He's not with us this morning, but we're going to play one of his songs that he likes to sing. And so that you all will just sit and listen for the next few minutes, and we'll listen to Brother Lee.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When this feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely, oh, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
With that song, it almost feels like Brother Lee is here with us, and I know that even though he's at home sick, his heart and his prayers are still with us, and it was just a warm feeling to hear him here. Someone once said that hatred is like a cancer. It grows and it hurts, and it only hurts the one that it's growing in, and you know, that's a lot true. With the situation the world is in today, there's a great evil. Hatred, unspeakable things happening to all humanity. Russians, Ukrainian soldiers are dying. The Ukrainians are trying to defend their land, and the Russians are just doing what they were told. In Ukraine, innocent people are dying. We see Iran, the struggles there. Haiti, the gangs are taking over. Venezuela. And we could probably spend the rest of the hour talking about countries that are having disagreements. Even our own country, we're facing tensions. We're facing hatred. We're facing division. But history tells us this isn't the first time that America has been through this. And God has seen her through each time. We take the Revolutionary War. There were people that supported England. And they were people that wanted to be a free country. We take the Civil War. It almost broke us. The North and the South divided. We take Vietnam, people on both sides. We take the civil rights, people on both sides. And with God's help, we can get through this division. Each side of an argument, a disagreement, or a war has their opinions. I even heard when I was in college that Bonnie and Clyde didn't even see themselves as outlaws. They saw themselves as good people. So where does that leave God's people? Before we begin the sermon, just want some general thoughts on the subject. Number one, God's Word, the Bible. It's a law. It's a truth. It's never to be changed. It's never to be softened. But it's always compassionate. God's people are to live peaceful with others whenever possible. And the devil is on the roam with his lies, with his deceit, and with his division. He's on the roam, but God is in control. And God's people are a forgiving type of people. I want you to think about the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, the Vietnam War. What healed the nation? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. It heals families. It heals cities. It heals churches, states, countries, and it even will help our relationship with God. Because God forgives us, but sometimes we don't want to forgive ourselves. But we're supposed to be a forgiving people. I want to talk about forgiveness today, and we'll turn to Matthew 18:21 just to see how important forgiveness is. Matthew 18, speaking with chapter 18, verse 21. Then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Peter thought he was being gracious. Do I have to forgive him seven times if he's in the wrong? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take into account his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents, a great debt. He couldn't repay. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. Not only him sold, his wife and his children and all that he had to be make payment for what he owed. Everything he had was to be sold, his wife, his children. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He wanted to have patience, to be forgiven. And then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and he took him out by the throat, saying, pay me all that you owe me. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. The same words were spoken. One man chose to forgive and have patience, and one didn't. And when he would not, he went and he cast him into prison till he should pay all his debts. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told their Lord all that was done. And when the Lord, after all that he had called unto him, said, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that thou debt, because thou desired me to. Shouldest not thou have also had compassion on the fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the torment, till he should pay all that was due him. Like also shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if ye from this your hearts forgive not every one of his brothers their trespasses. Today, God tells us to forgive our brothers. Think of what God forgave you of. Think what God forgave me of. Think what God forgave mankind. Paul, he persecuted the church, but God forgave him. We as people hung his son, Jesus Christ, on the tree. And what did God do after Jesus Christ was hung on the tree? He forgave us. And you say, well, I lived a good life. I lived a righteous life. But you know, it doesn't matter how good or how righteous we have lived. Jesus still had to go to the tree to forgive us of our sins, because all have fallen short of the glory of God. So when we talk about the greatest forgiveness ever done, we take a people that God created. He gave them a wonderful garden, small set of rules. And then all of a sudden, we disobeyed him and we had to be forgiven. Well, the only way that we could do that is with Jesus Christ dying on the tree. So out of our wickedness, out of our hatred, the creation, us, God had to forgive. God had to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a tree, and then had to bring us back into heaven if we believe in him. Now that's a lot of forgiveness going on. Even God forgives us putting his son on a tree. We may live a clean life, but even the best person in the world, even the cleanest, most righteous person, Jesus had to go to that cross for. He had to go to the cross for me. He had to go to the cross for you. He had to go to the cross for your children. And yet, his forgiveness endures forever. Even after that, he wants to love us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to be with him and him to be with us, talking through prayer and showing his face to us. Even Matthew 6, we're going to read that. Because it's not just a possibility of us having to forgive one another and forgive other things. Matthew 6, 9. Some of you all know this. All of you should know it. Matthew 6, 9. Well, I'm going to go back up to 6, 7. But when you pray, not as vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard in much speaking. But not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask. God knows our needs before we ask. Sometimes when we pray, we find it hard to put into words. You just open it up from your heart, because God knows what you need, whether it be financial, mental, maybe you need a vacation. Maybe you need your spouse to understand. Maybe you need your children to do this. God knows what we have need for before we ever pray. But he was telling us how to pray. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now that's pretty significant too. We're going to get off the message a little bit, but give us each day our daily bread. We don't have to worry what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't need to concentrate on next week. The Bible says there'll be wicked enough tomorrow to take care of tomorrow. Focus on what God has given you today, because he's richly blessed each one. Each one of us here has a way to come back and forth, a country that we can serve him, worship him any way we please, a country where we can do pretty much anything we want to. Give us each day our daily bread. Look at what God has given us today. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgiveness. Forgiveness those that have wronged us, because God once forgave us. He said, forgive us our debts. Lord, forgive me of our sins and help me forgive others that have wronged me. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now that's the Lord's Prayer. Everybody knows it. Everybody has repeated it time after time after time. But there's two verses that are under it that are pretty important. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you forgive other people, God will forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. As we see things on TV, we may not like what we see, but always remember that there's two sides. Disagreement and hate are two different words, and we as Christian people, it's not just a suggestion to be a forgiving type of people. I would say it's more like a commandment to be a forgiving type of people. When somebody comes and asks to be forgiven, they didn't say, forgive those that are worthy. It didn't say that anywhere in the Bible that I've read. They don't have to be worthy of forgiveness. I was not worthy of God's forgiveness. It didn't say, forgive them if they're worthy. It said, forgive them. And the way to heal a nation, to heal a world, is to be forgiving. We see things on TV and we think it enrages us, but there's always two sides. We got people wanting to live in a free country. We got people wanting to do their job. And the last thing is disagreement and hate are two very different words. Disagreement and hate. If I disagree with somebody, I don't like the way that they're doing it. My views and their views are not the same. But if I hate somebody, that turns bitter. It turns personal. And disagreement is a whole lot easier to forgive than hate. As Christians, having a forgiving personality is more than a suggestion. God is still king. He's still on the throne. He's still watching everything. Now, nowhere in the Bible have I found forgive them if they deserve it. I want to tell you a story. It happened in 2006. West Nickel Mines, an Amish school shooting. Do any of y'all remember that? A man went in, he wasn't Amish, into a school, and he killed five people, he injured five, and he committed suicide. The father of one of the children publicly said, I forgive this man for doing it. Now that's some strong forgiveness. I don't know whether I could have done it. I know I couldn't have. But that's the forgiveness that God commands us to have. Not only did that father forgive the man for killing, the same day of the shooting, the Amish people went to the grieving wife. The man that had done the shooting went to his wife, prayed for her, and comforted her. The Amish community also gave financially to help her support. To help support the wife of the man that shot their children. Now that's forgiveness. Because we don't say that it can't be done. Because forgiveness is always possible. There's only one person that's standing in the way of you forgiving somebody. There's only one person. And you see that person every time you look in the mirror. And remember, any hatred that we have, it only grows inside of us. Does it hurt the person that we're not forgiving? Does it hurt the person that comes to Thanksgiving meal and nobody talks to them? Or you don't talk to them? Does it hurt the family? Does it hurt the community not forgiving? Well, we can't forgive that. We can't forgive this. Well, you know, that church didn't send $1,000 to us when we were down. We can't forgive that. If we're a forgiving people, we're going to have healing. And we need to have this healing. And the healing can only take place if we have forgiveness within our hearts. We'll have the song of invitation.
I heard thy master say.
have the closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful for all the many blessings that you've given us, Lord. You've blessed us beyond what we deserve. Lord, as we see all the violence and the evil on the TV, Lord, remind us that you are still in charge, Lord. You are the King. You're all-knowing, and we know that the devil works on this earth, and he's trying to distract us any way he can. Lord, as we go out into the community, Lord, let us take your light with us, Lord. Lord, if there's any unforgiveness within our hearts, Lord, we pray that you would remove it, Lord, and let us be a forgiving and a loving type of people. And Lord, let us be a different type of people when we're seen on the streets, when we're seen at our work, when we're seen in anything we do, Lord, let us be a little bit different. Let your light shine within us, Lord, and let other people see that light so that they may be interested in what we have in you that they don't. And so we can lead them and guide them to come into church and to find you as their personal Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.